We're going to turn again, please, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I want to take the words of 29. The words of verse 29 is our text. Romans 15, verse 29. Paul writes, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Let us seek the Lord's face together in prayer. May we even know that fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ as we meditate upon these words today. Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks, dear Lord, for thy truth. And, O Lord, we thank thee for the depths in the gospel, the great breadth, we cannot exceed it. And, O Lord, we pray as we come now and meditate upon these words that help from above will be given. And we pray that through this year, that each time we come to this house, that we will prove the truth of these words. We come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We pray that through this year, whether we are in school, in the workplace, at home, that wherever we go, that we will go in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. O Lord, take thy truth, we pray, and seal it to our hearts to that end. Grant the needed yet promised help of the Holy Spirit of God. Enable both preacher and hearer. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The words of the latter part of Romans chapter 15 were very precious to Stanley Smith, who was an English missionary who went to China in 1885. Stanley Smith had grown up in a very well-to-do English family. He went to a prestigious English school and then went to study at Cambridge University. While he was at university, he was very successful in sport, and he was part of the rowing team there in the university. But the Lord worked mightily in his heart during his time of study. And during his time at Cambridge, Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary from China, was not only in deputation in England, but he came and met with a student group in the university at Cambridge. Stanley was one of a number of young men whose hearts the Lord touched at that time. And he became then one of what was known as the Cambridge Seven. The Cambridge Seven were a group of seven young men that left England to go to China to be missionaries. And they were known as the Cambridge Seven since six of them had actually been students in the university at Cambridge. Prior to their departure, they went through England, especially to universities, testifying of their call to China, but also sharing the gospel of our Lord. One of the men that accompanied Stanley Smith was C.T. Studd, the famous missionary. As I've said, Romans 15 was very precious to Stanley Smith in those days leading up to his departure, and he recorded these words in his diary: "Everything was ordered by our gracious God to bring us to the shores of China in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Just seeing that all we have to do is to recognize that we are nothing. Christ is all, and trusting in him to enter into the rest that remains for the people of God. And in account of that, he said then, "Surely God is strong enough to fight our battles." Surely God is rich enough to supply our needs, and surely God is wise enough to teach us and direct our paths. We saw last time that Paul, as he comes to a close here in this epistle of Romans, he is speaking to the people in the church at Rome of his intention to come and to visit them. And he's actually laying out that this is no new thing, that he has long desired to come and visit the Christians in Rome, but he explains reasons why he has not come yet, and one of them being that his labor and the policy that he adopted in missionary work had carried him away into the eastern parts of Europe, into parts unreached. But now in the providence of God, he has been given a gift to bring to the saints of God in Jerusalem. And he feels that the Lord is leading him now to Western Europe, to Spain. And so as he thinks about all of this, that he has been given this gift, the Lord seems to be putting it upon his heart to go to Spain. In his own mind, he sees that it would make sense then to go to Jerusalem with that gift and to go to Spain, but to go to Spain from Jerusalem via Rome. Now, it didn't quite happen as Paul had planned. He did come to Rome, and some ancient writers say that he did in time come to Spain, but he actually came to Rome as a prisoner. Now, thinking about that, Paul then pleads for prayer. In verse 30, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Verse 32, "that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God." And this ought to be the request that every preacher lays before his congregation, or every missionary lays before those that pray for them. "I beseech you, strive together with me in your prayers for me." Satan wants to hinder us in prayer, but our prayer must be for the furtherance of God's cause through the building up of the church of Jesus Christ. But he not only speaks of prayer, but he speaks of this certainty that we want to look at then in verse 29. "I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." This phrase, "in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ," has been in my heart the last few weeks, and with the Lord's help, I want to consider it together with you this morning. I want us to think then here, first of all, of the sinner's problem regarding fullness. The sinner's problem regarding fullness. It's interesting that in this 15th chapter of the book of Romans, as Paul is drawing this book to a close, he is actually speaking about something that he has already introduced to the people at Rome. In fact, way back in chapter 1, Paul mentioned then of his plan to come and to visit. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 11. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established." He wants his congregation to be further built up, to be consolidated in the faith of the gospel. Verse 12, "that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." And Paul says, if in the will and providence of God I'm able to come to Rome, it will benefit Paul, and it will also benefit the congregation, the mutual faith, both of you and me. And he speaks then in verse 13 of how for a long time he had desired to come, but he has been hindered. Now it seems that after Paul lays that out, that Paul gets diverted. Now of course he's not diverted in the normal sense in which we get diverted
for he's writing here under inspiration. But he opens the book then by talking about these plans to come and to visit. And as he's coming to a close, he is talking again about the plans to come and visit. Well, what is the diversion all about? The diversion is all about the gospel. And so, if Paul set out just to write a letter saying, I want to come and visit you, he couldn't leave it at that. And so he wrote this long letter all about the gospel of our Lord. And so in Romans 1 verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And Paul is saying, the gospel is needed because the wrath of God is against sinners. It's against sinners who suppress the truth, who seek to hold down the voice of God, who seek to rebel against the voice of God speaking to them. And so Paul brings that gospel. But in the latter part of Romans chapter 1, Paul is emphasizing the great corruption in man's nature. If you look with me at what it says in Romans 1:29, and here Paul has been speaking of how the Lord can give sinners over to what they desire. So there's the Lord's voice speaking in creation, in providence. But man rebels against the voice of God. He suppresses that truth that has been given to him. And for some, tragically, from man's point of view, God gives them over to their sin. They say, I want sin. For some, God will say, well, have it your way. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. And I've brought you to this verse because of this word filled. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, and so on. Verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them, or give approval to them. So we think of sinners that are in view then in Romans chapter 1. They've said, we don't want the Creator. We don't want to humble ourselves to the Creator. We want to do things our own way. I want to do that which pleases me. And as I've said, the Lord then gives certain men up. The Lord gives them up to uncleanness. The Lord gives them over to their vile affections, to a reprobate mind. And the end is that they are filled with all unrighteousness. Now we have to ask, is that blessing? Is this the route to contentment? Those that the Lord gives up and over to their own way, do they find the very thing that they are looking for? And Paul's answer in Romans chapter 1 is a most definite no. They're filled up with sin as much as the world can give them. But they are more miserable than they've ever been. And so when we come to Romans 15, Paul again brings out this idea of being full. It's not through sin and worldliness, but Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You looked for joy and peace in the world, and you find only misery. You looked for joy and peace
in your sin and you find only greater discontent. So Paul writes then that the God of peace would fill you, Roman Christians, with all joy and peace in believing. In verse 14, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. The Lord has done this great work of filling. The world had left them empty, but the Lord brings contentment. And if there's one in the meeting today and you're without Christ, these words then of our text, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, there to remind you of the emptiness that you have without that gospel. They're to remind you of the miserableness of what it is to live day after day without the hope of the gospel. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes there of the emptiness of seeking our happiness in the things of this world. And the great refrain that's repeated through the book of Ecclesiastes is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Futility of futilities. Emptiness of emptiness. And through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon speaks of many things that you could look to for contentment. It could be money. It could be study. It could be relationships. It could be family. And these things, to some degree of their place, even some of them are very important in life. But if that's where we seek contentment, is vanity of vanities. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, as Solomon is drawing that book to a close, he says in Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Now, Solomon is writing there, it's not his counsel that we really would walk according to our own eyes, that we would live according to our own desires. But what he is saying there is this. If that's what you're determined to hear, if you're going to refuse any other instruction, that what you want to hear is walk in the way of your own eyes, in the sight of your own eyes, then in a sense, go ahead and do it. But be sure of this. That in the end, there's not only misery, but that there's the judgment of God. Yes, have your full of what this life can give you, the full of what sin can give you. Well, not only will you be miserably disappointed in life, but what an awful realization in eternity. To meet the God of judgment. And so as I've said then, Paul in Romans 1, he speaks of the world's best effort to fill you up. But as he comes to a close here in Romans chapter 11, he speaks of the true fullness, the blessed fullness, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And here then is a fresh exhortation to the sinner. Leave the emptiness of what the world describes as fullness. Come to the one who gives life in abundance. The Lord is not offering the scraps. The world can't even give you the scraps. But the Lord is offering abundance. So there is the sinner's problem regarding fullness. But then we have here the Lord's provision
of fullness. As I've mentioned then, here is this great emphasis that the Lord provides this fullness in the gospel of Christ. If you look back with me, please, at John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, John introduces us to the ministry of John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist's ministry was not an end in itself. John the Baptist did not preach John the Baptist, just as Paul, as we'll see in a moment or two, did not preach Paul. John chapter 1 and the verse 16. And so John and his ministry was not preaching himself. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, that is, of the fullness of Christ have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, and the law has an important function. But we can't earn our way to God through law keeping. The law condemns us and it shows us our sin. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And of his fullness have we all received. And so the law, it convicts. The law condemns. But Jesus Christ came as the embodiment of grace and truth. That is, he came to the undeserving, the ill-deserving, grace. But he also came as the one who would actually meet the demands of God on the sinner's behalf. He is the truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the testimony of the Christian then is of his fullness have we all received. We received it the day we first believed, grace. But we are to receive it every day, grace after grace, grace for grace. And so this fullness in our text can be likened to a fountain. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. There's this idea of a great supply, of great abundance. The sinner comes in his emptiness, and he comes and he partakes of Christ, and there's all that he needs and more in Christ. And yet in no way is Christ drained. If you go down to the ocean, put a glass in and take out a glass of water out of the ocean, the ocean is not complaining to you that you've stolen from it. There's a vast supply. And in an even greater way, all that the sinner needs is in Christ and more. There's this great plenitude, as Octavius Winslow spoke of. He said, its depths cannot be fathomed. Its dimensions cannot be measured. It passes knowledge. I think it was last week I referred to that text that speaks of the world offering the broken cisterns. The world can't even give you a container to hold water, not even steel water. It's broken. But Christ is a fountain. And many will say then, well, perhaps I'll turn to religion. Perhaps I'll turn to good deeds. Our Lord Jesus acknowledged that in his very first miracle in Cana of Galilee. Remember when he came to Cana of Galilee, there was that wedding. And at the wedding, they ran out of wine. And there were there 6 water pots. And as John records his gospel, he doesn't describe them just as 6 water pots, but he describes them in terms of Jewish ritual as to how much water they would hold for Jewish ceremonies. But as we're introduced to those water pots, they're empty. They're empty. But then when they are filled up, Christ turns the water to wine. What does religion without Christ bring? It only brings that increasing sense of emptiness. I lack.
But praise God, in the gospel, there's that fullness. And as the wine speaks to us in that miracle, there is joy. Our Lord in John chapter 7, as he stood in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, he said, "If any man thirst, if there's anyone today and you acknowledge that you do lack," Christ said, "let him come unto me and drink." Come to this great supply. And as Paul then is emphasizing, his preaching was not about a mere man. "I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Paul was not going to come to Rome to preach Paul. Paul desired to come to preach Christ. And may it ever be the desire of this congregation that we would come to hear Christ. If you go away knowing more about the preacher, you're nothing bettered. But if you go away with Christ, that's everything. J.C. Philpott was a famous 19th century preacher in London. And he wrote to two ladies, speaking of how he hoped that he would come and preach in the congregation that they were part of. He said, "I hope I may come among you in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." He's referring to this very text. But he says, "but do not look to me, or you will be surely disappointed." He's saying, if I get to come to preach, don't look forward to my presence, as it were, but only what I'm able to tell you about Christ. This fullness, then, is likened to a fountain. But it's also likened to fruitfulness. For in Romans 15:28, just before Paul gets to speak of this again, of his desire to come, in verse 28 he says, "When therefore I have performed this," that is, when I have brought this gift to Jerusalem, "when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Now, Paul really here is speaking in a way of contrast. He says, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to bring this money gift." And the money gift to Jerusalem, he likens unto fruit. "I have sealed to them," or "I will have sealed unto them, this fruit. But when I come to you, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Now, of course, it was also his desire to go in the fullness of the gospel of Christ to Jerusalem. But as I say, he's bringing out this contrast. I'm going to Jerusalem with money. Is there no fruit for Rome? We could say, materially speaking, I'm sure this was the case, that the church in Rome didn't need a gift from Eastern Europe. But there was fruit they needed. The fruit that they needed was the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, we think of fruit. For most of us, at least, we think that fruit tastes good. Fruit is satisfying. There's that sweetness. And here is the message for a church that was entering into a time of great trial and persecution. There is sweetness. There is fruit. The blessing of the gospel. Paul is not saying, "I come to promise an end to your trials." Paul is not coming to say, I promise that none of you are ever going to get sick again. But he says, I'm sure I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. And surely then we're brought to see again the meaning of that word blessing. It does have the idea of happiness. It does have the idea of joy. But it's happiness even in the darkest of circumstances, the most difficult of times. I will come in the fullness of the blessing. So there's the sinner's problem regarding fullness. The sinners look for fullness in the wrong place. But then the Lord's provision of fullness in the gospel. But I want to see then, thirdly, the believer's proving of fullness. The believer proving fullness. If you look with me at verse 29, I am sure that when I come unto you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. But why is he sure? He is sure, surely, because he has proved this to be the case. He has gone to other places where there was no congregation, and he went in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He had gone back to places that he had seen churches established to further confirm those saints, and again, he had come to them in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And Paul is saying, when I come to you, I am sure it will be no different. I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Verse 32, and he says there, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. I will come in the fullness. You will be refreshed. But he's saying, I'm sure also as I come to you that I will be refreshed as I minister with you and hear from you. And so going right back to chapter 1, I drew to your attention earlier that idea of mutual edification. As Paul brings the letter to a close, he's saying exactly the same thing. And interestingly then, in the larger catechism, when the writers are speaking about the second petition in the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, one of the proofs that they use in their answer to what that prayer request is all about, Thy Kingdom Come, is Romans chapter 15, verse 29. I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The particular clause that they have there is, we are praying for the confirming, the comforting, and building up of the converted. So yes, we're to pray for the salvation of sinners. But when we pray, Thy Kingdom come, we are also praying that every time we gather in the house of God, yea, every time we enter into the secret place with the Lord, that we would come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ, that there would be this confirming, this comforting, this building up. Now, as I've said, as Paul writes here in Romans 15, he is unaware of how this is actually going to come to pass. So he will come to Rome, but he will come as a prisoner. And so as we come to a close, I would encourage you to look with me in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, and Paul is being brought on a journey, a very difficult journey, to Rome, but he comes as a prisoner. Verse 14, we find brethren were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And so the very thing that Paul had been talking about in Romans 15, it's about to happen. We went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage.
And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now you think of these Christians. They came out of the city of Rome to meet Paul. They were the welcoming party. And perhaps these very people, those years before when they read Romans 15, they imagined what this was going to look like. We're going to walk out of the city and we're going to welcome Paul as he comes on his way to Spain. But as actually came to pass, they saw him coming in chains. Yes, he's accompanied, but he's surrounded by soldiers and other prisoners. So was Romans 15:29 a failure? Did it not actually come to pass? Well, we see in Acts chapter 28, it absolutely did come to pass. When he came to them, he came in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. As he looked at those Christians, he thanked God and took courage. Perhaps things in your life are not quite working out the way that you had planned. You had some idea in your mind, this is how it's going to be. But how the Lord has brought it to pass is something different. But lay hold of this text, dear believer. Prove it. Paul says, I am sure that. And he was not proved wrong. I am sure that when I come on to you, when I come to Rome, and whatever your Rome might be, when I come on to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Why was it still the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ? Well, one reason is in verse 32, that I may come on to you with joy by the will of God. He came as God willed it. Yes, God's will was different than Paul's will, as far as what Paul initially had desired. But Paul knew the will of God is always best. We do not know what lies ahead. We do not know what this year will bring for us. We do not know its trials. We don't know its blessings. But whether in tears of joy or sorrow, may we prove this, that we will continually live in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. May it be so. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. How we rejoice in this great message of fullness in the gospel. That fullness on account of our Lord's life and our Lord's death. Maybe there's some unconverted one today and you're still in the emptiness. Come to fullness, dear sinner. Come to satisfaction. Come to joy. Maybe some troubled believer. Oh, that you might delight again in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Our gracious Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy holy truth. Oh Lord, we thank thee for that fullness that there is for our emptiness. And we pray then today that thou wilt empty us of self afresh. Fill us with the gospel. Fill us with the truth of Christ. Fill us with the power of the Spirit of God. We pray that we might be that people of joy, that we might be a people of usefulness. Lord, that we might indeed be full of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We thank thee for the refreshments. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless those to us. And we pray that as we part, that we will go in the blessing of the Lord. Continue with us, we pray, in our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn in closing to the hymn 406. 406, more of Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. And we'll sing the verses 1 and 4, the verses 1 and 4, and then remaining standing, please, for the benediction. 406, verses 1 and 4.
More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness sing, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, I'm sure in grace, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy blessing upon us this day. And Lord, we cry to thee that through this day that we might know that fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.